しくなってしまう。
一人きりでは生きられないって
分かっているのに言ったんだ。話しかけては来なくてもどこか気を使われてるような優しさとか温もりとか愛に疲れてくる。そんな自分
you're listening to the Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is our Winter 2020 Anime Preview. It's already 2020. Already looking forward to the next year. 2019's already over. Time to move on. Are you ready for it?
I'm fairly ready for it.
Fairly ready for it. As usual, we're from the TalkingSpirit.com website, where you can go for all of our anime, new and old, great community, the forum links at the top, social media links on the right side, and all that good stuff. And yes, again, today is our Winter Previews. We're going to go through all the shows that are going to be coming in the Winter 2020 season, give you an idea of the synopsis, the studios that's working on it, anybody important that you should be looking out for in case it's a show that you've watched before with another of their creations, and then possibly give some sight into the PVs they have available, which I think most of them have PVs at this point. So
yeah,
that's good. There's some season where it just seems like half of them are missing, but... Or just the slideshows with the stills and everything like that. So, yes, I guess we could dive right into it because we have probably 30-some shows that are new. We have quite a bit of shows that are returning. I think next year is going to be like this, the year of returning shows. So, of course, it was pretty heavy this year with that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
that's always good for people that are fan of those seasons to see their shows come back. But, yes, to start things off, we have Puella Magi, Madoka Magica Side Story Magia Record, or Magia Record Maho Shoujo Madoka Magica Gaiden. And of course, this is a show that's going to be based off of a current mobile game that's available, even in the West, if you want to jump into that one. I am not liking it lately. I joked, it's sad to say that the gacha is worse than Fate Grand Order, which is very scary to say, but yes. It's got the whole issue where you have to get multiples to make them like their full potential, which really does suck. Anyways, the synopsis for this show based off the mobile game is the stage is the growing city, Kamihama City. Will you fight alongside me? The meeting between girls spins a new tale. Guided by mysterious powers, magical girls gather in the city. It is a place where magical girls can stay as they are. The girls drawn out new power in their fight against witches. What's going on in the city? Tamaki Iroha came to the city to following her disappearing disappeared sister. Following her disappeared sister, that sounds weird. Iroha works with other magic girls to search for the clues. Eventually, Akemi Homura, a magical girl from Mitakihara City, came to Kamihama as well. If I can figure out what is happening to the city, I may be able to say Kaname-san. When the magical girls from those two cities cross, a new hope is born. So, yeah. Admittedly, I have not kept up with the Magia Record story at all, even though playing the mobile game.
It's frustrating. I skipped through a lot of that, figuring I could just go back and watch it. So this is just absolutely icing on the cake. I really, really wanted to dig into the storylines. So having it in an anime form would just be wonderful.
That was one of the unfortunate things. I don't like Homura at all. So the moment I seen her is pretty much in the opening of the mobile game. I kind of lost interest really quickly, but I'm like you. I'm always kind of trying to skip forward to use up my AP and everything like that as quick as possible while I have time, and I never do go back, even though I keep telling myself I need to go back to read it. So it's kind of like the Fate Grand Order getting so many adaptations. It's like, yay, cool, now I can finally get the story that I skipped through and told myself I'd watch. I do like the character designs. I do love the usual Shaft style. Of course, this will be done by Shaft as well, which is great. For those who don't know who Shaft is, they did the Monogatari series, Madoka Magica, Puella Magica, Madoka Magica series, Nisekoi, March Comes Like a Lion, and many more. Genres are drama, mahou shoujo, psychological thriller. The source, of course, is a mobile game, and the theme song is going to be done by Tricell and Claris. So Claris always has to get involved with Shaft, it seems.
It's like they're pulling the entire band back together to give it another shot. So I'm and that makes it even more exciting for me. I really love Madoka. Can't wait to see this one.
The only unfortunate thing is that I could not find anybody working on it that seemed like they had any notable experience. So that doesn't always mean bad. Usually sometimes having a really strong source material can pretty much make or break something. But in a lot of cases, there's some cases where they can make something even greater with good directors and script writers and series composition creators. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out in the future. Returning once again to another preview, we have Pet. Yes, the show that we talked about last preview, Pet apparently got delayed. I didn't even know, but here it is in the winter season availability. So, of course, this is one of those ones that's being done by the Twin Engine Productions group, which I've kind of mentioned that I've kind of been keeping an eye on because they do a lot of very unique and often adult related series. So that's always good. The synopsis for Pet is the psychic suspense story revolves around people who possess the ability to infiltrate people's minds and manipulate memories. Their powers have been used in the underworld for covering up incidents, assassinations, and other deeds. These powers can not only destroy other people's spirits, but also corrupt the user's own hearts at the same time. The users had to protect their fragile and insecure hearts as if chained to each other. They are called Pets, out of fear and despising. This course is going to be done by Geno Studio, who does a lot of the work for Twin Engines. The course they did Golden Kamuy, Kokoku, and Genocidal Organ. These genres are mystery, psychological, supernatural, seinen, and the source is a manga. And the director is Takahiro Umori, who did Bakano, Dorara, Natsumi's Book of Friends, or Natsumi's Book of Friends, Natsumi Yujincho, which is the same thing, Samurai Flamenco, and the series composition is being done by Sadayuki Murai, who did Natsumi Yujincho, Knights of Zidonia, Cowboy Bebop script work, and Perfect Blue script work. So really solid people working on it, along with, you know, maybe a questionable studio for quality, but they do seem like they're improving over time. Going from something like Kokoku to Golden Kamuy, even though you had the bear thing, hopefully they'll keep progressing as a studio going forward. But yeah, that one's, again, one that I'm going to keep an eye on just because it is Twin Engines, and Geno Studio is kind of a studio kind of building up, but we'll see how, if the story turned out to be something interesting or not.
We'll see. It looks kind of brutal, and it sounds like it's a team that's kind of brutal. So
psychological stuff, which is
yeah,
more my cup of tea, I guess. Moving on, we have Nekopara. The TV series is coming. Of course, the Nekopara is based off of a visual novel. They later made a Kickstarter, or not a Kickstarter, but a crowdfunding to do an OVA, and now they are doing a TV series based off of the visual novel. Yes, the visual novel does have adult parts of it, but I'm assuming, based off the feedback that I got for the OVA, that this will just be strictly cute girls doing cute things, which is always welcome because cat girls.
Yeah.
It's essentially a bunch of cat girls that are being saved by this guy, and then they go to work for his little cafe and stuff like that. So the director will be Yasutaka Yamamoto, who did Hinamaru Zuma and Servant X Service, and it's a comedy romance series being done by Felix Films, who unfortunately has done really nothing except for the OVA for Nekopara. So we'll see. I didn't really get any feedback on the quality of the animation and the ability to kind of keep, which, I mean, if you were doing a cute girls doing cute things, I think a big part of it for me is, you know, consistency of artwork, no off modeling, just really cute characters that are lively.
Yeah, so. And the fact that you got the director being the guy who did Servant X Service, he knows how to do the cafe thing right, so it should do pretty good. And he's also
that was a workplace. Yes,
yes,
that was.
I'm sorry,
group,
I got you.
The ministry or whatever.
Even so, it's not that far away.
Yeah.
But I was already excited about this from the moment I heard about it. So having this finally on our plate is really exciting to have.
On your plate. I like what you did there. That's cute.
I was going for that joke. You know that, right?
Yes. You're very clever. Unfortunately, we don't have any like PVs or anything. Like I said, I don't know the quality of the OVA, so I hope it's good, because that's going to be really telling for the show if I'm going to enjoy it or not, is if they can manage to make cute girls cute. Right. Moving on, we finally have the anime adaptation of Somali to Mori no Kamisama. This one is, the world is ruled by spirits, goblins, and all manner of strange creatures. Human beings are persecuted to the very point of extinction. One day, a golem and a lone human girl meet. This is a record of the pair, one a member of the ruined race, and the other the watchman of the forest. It tells of their travels together and of the bond between their father and daughter. This one's being done by Studio Satellite, who did Fairy Tail, Log Horizon, and Shugochara. These dramas are fantasy, slice of life, and the source is a manga. And the director working on it is Kenji Yasuda, who did Macross Delta and Shugochara. So, not insane credits for the director, but I'm sure that a lot of people would probably speak out for something like Macross Delta. And I enjoyed Shugochara, so we'll see if they can pull off something cool here. Because this is one that we've kind of been keeping an eye on for quite a while. It was originally a manga that was, I think when they first announced they were doing an anime, I thought they were doing an OVA or something like that. There was some reason why we brought it up in our podcast, and so we heard that there was a full series coming that was really a cool thing, because we always like the father-daughter kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Cute girl, big, foreboding, monstrous guy, traveling together with that kind of mother-father, daughter-father kind of mentality was really cool. So hopefully it's heartwarming. Hopefully it's not going to hurt Chris.
I think it's going to do good. I'm solidly excited for it.
It's so funny because the actual key art for it looks, when I first seen it and I didn't really notice the title and what it was, I completely thought it was like some weird spinoff title for Made in Abyss, because it had that kind of aesthetic to it. So it's cool stuff. Definitely looking forward to that one. That's probably one of my highest to looking forward to for the new shows. So,
and she's adorable. Having him as kind of this possibly a misunderstood type character, I think that it, and she can see through all of the trimmings. I really like it. I can't wait to see how this one works out.
Yep. PV looks good. Looks like solid animation. So, looking forward to hopefully Satellite pulling off an awesome series there. So, and they do know the fantasy. They've done plenty of fantasy. So, all right, moving on to MAPPA's offering this season, which is one that I'm kind of decently excited for. So hopefully it turns out to be something good. I have my misgivings with recent offerings from MAPPA, so I'm hoping they'll come back with a bang with this one. But it is Doro Hedoro, which is, the story revolves around Kaiman, who does not remember who he was before he was transfigured by a magic user. This transformation left him as a reptile's head, and a desire to find out the truth about who he really is. Accompanied by Nikaido, his female companion, he tracks down magic users in the hole and unceremoniously chomps down on their head. It just seems weird as head. Sorry. Hoping to find out who it was that put him in the state, one by one, they witness this second man inside the head of Kaiman, and after pulling them back out of the head, he asks them all a question. What did the guy inside my head say? That sounds really weird as I was reading that, so I thought I was reading it wrong. So he chomps down their head, they see his other side inside of his head, and then he asks them what he was like. That sounds really weird. Okay. Yeah. As usual, we don't... Yeah, he's literally doing that right now. He's got his mouth over the dude's head. Oh my gosh. This looks fully CGI. Is that what you're getting there?
Yeah, it looks very CGI. I'm not caring for the way it looks, so...
Like, I thought it was just going to be him, because it definitely looked like it from the thumbnail, but like looking at her a minute ago, she looks like she CGI as well. So I don't know if they're going to be just heavily relying on it or what, because there's a lot of shots that don't look CGI.
That looks very CGI.
Yeah. Oh, that's unfortunate. I hope they don't start getting too much like this going forward. Yeah, a lot of the shots look like it's CGI, but there's some shots where it's not. I guess it's going to be especially around anywhere where you have him at. They're going to use it. That's unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Mappa, stop!
Definitely looks like it's going to be more dark horror or dark comedy. Yeah. So
definitely,
it'll be interesting to see where they go with it, but not holding out a lot of hope for it.
Looks very banana fishy in style. It's interesting. But yes, like I said, this is Mappa that's working on this. They did Terror and Resonance, Rage of Bahamut, Dororo, Punchline, Banana Fish, and many other. The genres are action, adventure, fantasy, comedy, horror. The source is a manga, and the director is Yuichiro Hayashi, who did Kakegurui. And the themes for the music is going to be No Name. So this is the obvious record seller for No Name this season. So there you go. She does look cute, though, as a little companion. So we'll see how that one turns out. I hope the CGI doesn't kill it too much for me. So moving on, we have Plunderer. I thought I had a thing for it, but no. Plunderer. It's the year 305 of the Alcyon calendar, and the world is currently controlled by numbers. This is quote-unquote numbers, so I'm guessing people that are called numbers or something. Every human born is branded with a count. This count can be anything. The amount of kilometers walked, or the amount of people who have said your food is tasty. If your count drops to zero, you will be sent into the abyss. After Hina's mother, Count, dropped to zero, her last request was for Hina to look for the legendary Red Baron. This sounds familiar. The whole point system of the society. The studio is Geek Toys, who did Hensuki and Rewrited, so they haven't done too much. The genres are action, adventure, comedy, drama, ecchi. The source is a manga, and the director is Hiroyuki Kanbei, who did Orimo and Gonna Be a Twin Tales. The series composition by Masashi Suzuki, who did Isuka, Minami K, and Rail Wars, and Shuffle. And the creator is Su Minazuki, who did Heaven's Lost Property. So if you're a big fan of Heaven's Lost Property, I'm sure you'll want to keep an eye out for this one. Which, that person definitely knows ecchi. So there you go. You know that the ecchi will be real in this one. I really did hope that we would have a PB for this one, because being Geek Toys, which is not a long-running studio that's had a lot of their own titles, I was really hoping for some kind of idea of how it would look. Oh, there we go. We finally have a trailer. I have a trailer. I found one. The synopsis is kind of something that's been kind of widely used in a lot of, it's used in societies across the world. Like China technically has a system like that. It's something that I've seen in fiction quite a lot. So hopefully it's something that will branch off uniquely going forward. But as it stands now, why would you have the number in your inner thigh? That girl is very unlucky. Like, you have people that have it on their face and their shoulders, and she's just got it on her crotch.
Somebody can apparently take it away.
Yeah, the boss guys are going to take them out. And since you have it on your inner thigh, he has to reach for it.
It's an odd concept. I'm my mind is like rumbling around with these different things of where this could go. So it's definitely an interesting concept, and I'm very interested in it.
It's something that can kind of easily turn to just being, on the run from the bad guys kind of thing. So we'll see if it can possibly do something unique. Well, that guy's gotten -999. So there you go. That's that aspect of it. Is it going to just turn into a we're on the run kind of thing? His sword has 5,700, but he's gotten -999. Very, very weird. It looks decent based off the PV. I know that Hensuki looked okay. It's just I noticed a lot that it was kind of hiding it with its art style, which was perfectly fine. Just it was something where you go immediately, Rewrited, couldn't possibly, wasn't able to pull off that action very well. Hinsuke didn't really have action to really have to worry about. This one looks like it's going to be pretty heavy action, so we'll see if Geek Toys can prove me wrong in my hesitation.
Yeah. Not. Definitely interesting.
All right, moving on. We have Inspect Race finally coming out. This one's been one that we've been kind of waiting for quite a while once it was kind of announced. This one is Kyoko Suiri is the Japanese title. At the young age of 11, Kotoko Iwanaga was abducted by yokai for 2 weeks and asked to become their god of wisdom, a mediator between the spirits and the human world, to which the girl quickly agreed, but at the cost of her right eye and left leg. Now, 6 years later, whenever yokai wished for their problems to be solved, they make their way to Kotoko for consultation. Meanwhile, Kuro Sakuragawa, a 22-year-old university student, has just broken up with his girlfriend after he fled fled alone when the two encountered a kappa. Seeing this as her chance to become closer with him, Kotoko immediately makes her move, hoping to get married with Kuro one day. However, she quickly realizes there is something more to Kuro. With the knowledge, she asks his help in solving the various issues presented by the supernatural, all the while wishing her newfound partner will eventually reciprocate her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's at like at the age of 11 and now she's older, because that just makes it kind of, I've never been like against like, ooh, somebody younger likes somebody older. It's, you know, of course, always the opposite. That's always the questionable aspect, but I do hope she's a little older. She does look very young, but there you go. That's young love right there. So yeah. That's, like I said, one that I've been looking forward to for a long time. I kind of joked about it in our one of our discussionals that she totally looks like she's right out of PA Works, so I immediately thought it was PA Works, but it's being done by Brainspace, and Brainspace has offered a lot of amazing series, including Dodadada, Romantic Comedy Snafu, Bakano, and Natsume Jujincho. The genres for this is going to be comedy, mystery, supernatural, romance, horror. The source is a manga. The director is Keiji Goto, who did Kitty Grade and Inride. Series composition will be done by Noboru Takagi, who did Dorarara, Bakano, Golden Kamuy, Kuroko no Basket, and Sankure. And the creator is Kyo Shido Daida, who did Blast of Tempest, which we really like.
Wow.
Blast
of Tempest. Yeah.
Now, I didn't like how it kind of later on got to, but we did really enjoy the kind of backstory they had for the entire first part of it. So
this is one of those that another one that I'm really excited about. I love the character artwork. I love the concept. This one absolutely feels like it could fall right into one of those going and helping the yokai kind of one of those heartwarming little baby stories, and each one of them builds up into this nice little just kind of episodic nature show. So I'm really excited about it. I like the concept of having this kind of love interest between the two of them. So yeah, I'm loving it. I want to watch this one for sure.
Yeah, I admittedly have been quite the kind of tired of the fix the yokai formula that a lot of stories do. It's like a very popular genre in Japan, is the fix the yokai type of formula. But of course, I always kind of look for, let's see how, just like with the isekais, how can this one do differently? I'm thinking with the characters' dynamics, it's probably going to be the huge differentiation there. But I often do sometimes go, I just want to watch Natsume Jujincho rather than watch this. But yeah, we'll see how this one turns out. It's Brainspace and really good looking PV for it. So we'll see if the character chemistry can possibly set it aside from everything else. So, and it's got some solid people working on it as well. So, and like I said, we were fans of Blast of Tempest, and hopefully this will be another great work by them. Yeah. Moving on, we have Darwin's Game. The story centers around Kaname Sudo, a high school boy who is drawn to the mysterious game app titled Darwin's Game. He becomes involved with the social media game social game where the stakes are life or death. Studio is Nexus, who did Comet Scroll, Wakaba Girl, and Grenbelm. The genres are action, mystery, and the source is a manga. And didn't really give anybody important to go with this one, but...
Well, it does look like the genre is a manga.
It does look like a genre. The PV literally shows a manga. I think I watched, or I think I read this manga. I think I read this. No, that was a different one. Never mind. Okay. I say that, but it's like, yeah, technically is one that you'd see in a lot of manga. This type of death game thing with modern time situations, so. We'll see. We'll see if it turns out better than King's Game for Chris.
Yeah, that's really what it's going to be. Is the characters look interesting, not so much the concept. So we'll see.
Yeah, the one I was thinking was Death Tube. I think it was called Death Tube. It's very similar. We'll see, though. We'll see. Don't have much to work with on the PV because it's a lot of manga shots. So, all right. Moving on to one that I've kind of seen quite a bit of hubbub about, so hopefully this one will turn out. Why did I... That's the wrong link. Quite a big of hubbub about based off of the source material, I guess. But it's Infinite Dendrogram. In the year 2043, Infinite Dendrogram is the world's first successful full-dive VR MMO. Did I not bring up... Is this just the same link?
I think that you're doubled up on the link or something.
It's the link right there. Just keeps
bringing. You're accidentally.
Am I just closing the wrong one?
There we go.
I got it. In the year 2043, Infinite Dendrogram, the world's first successful full dive VR MMO. They're incorrect. That's
we already know. We already know this is a bad idea.
Was released in addition to the ability to perfectly simulate the five senses, along with its many other amazing features. The game promises to offer players a world full of infinite possibilities. Nearly 2 years later, soon to be college student freshman. Reiji Mukudori is finally able to buy a copy of the game and start playing. With some help from his existing older brother Shu and his partner Embryo, Reiji embarks on an adventure into the world of... I don't know why that just cuts off. Just what will he discover and encounter in this game world known for its incredible realism and infinite possibilities? Probably get trapped in there. Studio is Naz, who did not really much. We had Angamoyce here recently, as well as My Girlfriend is a Gal. That shot looks very similar to Tales of Vesperia. Or Zestiria. Of Vesperia? Tales of Zestiria, yes. Zestiria. He looks like the main character in Tales of Zestiria right there. It makes me think it's like Ufotable secretly or something. Anyways, the genres are sci-fi, action, adventure, and fantasy. The source is a light novel. And the director is Tomoki Kobayashi, who did Akame ga Kill, Amagami SS 100, Ichigo 100, Seiden, and Utuara Mono. So definitely has plenty of experience in lots of different things. So do you think it'll turn isekai, or do you think it's just going to be a trapped in an MMO, or do you think it's just going to be let's play a game?
I think it's going to be just play a game.
You think? No high drama and what they need to fix, like life or death situation?
Going to find a way for him to be excited about the game, but not necessarily excited, but feel like he needs to be in the game, but not necessarily trapped there.
Yeah, like that's the troubling thing is a lot of these things, it always seems to have to push the idea of you're either trapped or your dead friend is in there and you're trying to figure out why they're in there. They always have to have some kind of catch. And it's like, hopefully it can turn into one of those things where similar to Recovery MMO Junkies, it's like, just why not be there just because you enjoy the company and you just want to, like real people do. We play the games because we enjoy the company. You meet people, you socialize, you form bonds, and you want to do something. So we'll see. We'll see if it has a hook, so to speak, or if it's just let's have fun and do it good. So we will see. No spoilers in the comment section. Moving on. But yeah, the PV looks pretty decent. Naz is Naz struggled very much with Angamoyse. They did an awesome job at many points for their seemingly caliber, I would say. That is kind of a negative thing, but that's kind of where they're at, seemingly new studio. So hopefully with this one, they can get a good budget and pull off something cool and really stand out from their previous works. So. All right, next one. Next one, next one, next one. We have Rikkei ga koi ni ochita no de shoumimashita, which is Yukimura Shinra and Himuro Ayame are two scientists that want to find out if love can be solved by scientific theory. These two scientists also have feelings for each other and want to be able to solve their true feelings through similar theoretical facts. With this perfect opportunity, these scientists will attempt to solve the theory of love they express for each other. This will be done by Studio Zero G, the studio that did Grand Blue, My Roommate is a Cat, Sugimomo, Battery, and One Room. These dramas are comedy, romance, ecchi. The source is a manga, and the director is Toru Kitahata, who did Love, Elections, and Chocolate. And the scriptwriter is Michiko Yokote, and she did Blood Plus, Genshiken, Gintama, Harengu, Masamune's Revenge, thousands of other ones, Shirobako. She's very well known in the anime sphere. So, yes, I see Chris is already writing this because we've talked about
but
this.
I can't remember what we called it before. That wasn't what we called it. It was something like, I'm going to make you, you're falling in love with me, let me prove it, or something like that.
Ricky Koi is what they're calling it shorthand for those that are trying to look it up because my pronunciation sucks. I think we did have an English title for it already. Proof of Love is what this one shows. Wikipedia has a translation of Science Fell in Love, So I Tried to Prove It. We'll go with that. If you want to look it up, Science Fell in Love, So I Tried to Prove It. No, I think, was this the one that was supposed to drop full on Amazon? Didn't we talk about that? Let me see if I can find my original posting for it.
I just remember that we were really, we liked the idea of it. It was kind of like a slightly different take on the Love is a War.
Yeah. I think the thing that I appreciated about the most is just based on the actual synopsis that we had and the more details that we had, it was moving more away from the idea of there's these two people that don't want to admit that they're in love, similar to Love is War, but more of the idea that they seem to openly show it. It's just that they want to prove it. It seems like their minds are more set on, rather than actually show that affection to each other, they're just trying to prove it, which is kind of goofy, but it's kind of one of those grown-up dorkiness, I guess. Dorkiness of the minds, I guess. They're very smart, but they're just dorks.
Science Fell in Love, So I Tried to Prove It.
Yes, Amazon Prime is streaming all the episodes. So they will... this is going to be hitting January 10th in Japan with all 12 episodes, like I mentioned earlier. But the question that we had at that time when we were talking about that in the news is it going to be a U.S. thing as well? Is U.S. going to get all 12 episodes that same day? Or if we're going to wait maybe 2 weeks and we'll finally get them all? Or is it going to be one of those things where they're going to just simulcast it over here just to screw with us? So you may see it fall drop on January 10th. You might see some of it. You might have to wait some time, but we will eventually get it all as it will be released that quickly. So, do you want it to drop all at the same time? That's usually where it kind of falls. Now we have to devote time to it. I guess we can always just wait, or we could just watch once a week. I guess that's one thing. You can always set yourself to watch it once a week. It looks really, really cute, though. I'm definitely with Chris on. I'm looking forward to that one. So. They look like absolute dorks. It definitely does have a visual and silliness vibe look from the PV as something like Watakoi. Love is hard for an otaku.
Yeah.
So has that adult comedy romance to it. So very cool.
Running out of space. Gonna have to You're start right, knocking off. Stuff already. Starting to knock. Get ready to start knocking off some names.
All right, Danganronpa is the next one. No,
that's why the artwork looks familiar.
No, I was just joking with you. I remember when we were doing the watching or talking about the PV in a discussion. I was talking about how it looks like Danganronpa. Anyways, Jibaku Shonen Hanako-kun. It is said that Hanako-san lives in the girls' toilet on the third floor of the old school building and will grant anyone a wish for a price. Yashiro Nene goes looking for Hanako-san in hopes for a successful love encounter, but the one that she meets is completely different than what she imagines. The studio is Lurch, who did Assassination Classroom, Scum's Wish, Monster Musume, School Live, and Astro Love and Lost in Space. The genres are comedy, supernatural, the sources of manga. And the director is Masaomi Ando, who did Hakame Tomikochi, Astro Lost in Space, and White Album 2. I guess the only thing I would kind of get close to it is I would say that it's Lurch who did Assassination Classroom, which did have a very bulk style to it too as well, right? The lines were very big.
Yeah.
Which is something I kind of contribute to something like Danganronpa, the very thick lines to it. But it could just be the style of the manga itself, so... Yes, it feels very...
It's all right. I have a few different feels that I'm getting at the same time as well.
Yeah, it seems like Lurch is doing a lot of very unique visual style shows. Like Hakame Tomikochi was definitely one that had a very unique style to it that we really did appreciate. So, I love this. I love the style. I very much so too. So, hopefully it's a solid series. I love the style. I love how Lurch is doing based off the PV, how well it looks. I don't know if it's going to have, based off the synopsis, enough content there. Hopefully it does.
Yeah, the artwork definitely has got me caught. I'm definitely excited about this, mostly on the artwork style. Not sure about the storyline. I mean, okay,
I'm just hoping it just doesn't turn into a bunch of she's being bullied or something like that, and
it's going to be a comedy, so I'm going to assume that it's just going to be his hijinks and in trying to get her to get her lover. So it sounds goofy, so we'll see how it works out.
Good point. Drama is not in the genres, so it might not have any bullying, but it could be there. Who knows? So yeah, there you go. Next one we have is Ishizoku Reviewers. Chris starts writing, unless he's already wrote it down, because he's a pervert.
I've already got too many on my list.
Beauty truly lies in the eye of the beholder, from elves to succubi to cyclops and more. The Yoru no Glass Reviewers are here to rate the red light delights of all matter of Monster Girls. The only thing is, they can never agree on which species is the hottest. The studio is Passione, who did Citrus, Roca, Brave of Six Flowers, High School DxD. The genres are comedy, ecchi, fantasy. The sources of manga. The director is Yuki Ogawa, who did Miru Tights, Fully Kuri Progressive. So, Miru Tights has some experience there. Script worked is Kazuyuki Furuyasu, who did Yamada's First Time, Claymore, Joseph's Bizarre Adventure, Maho Shoujo Nante Moi Descara, Monster Musume, and Encouragement of Climb. So they got some pretty solid people working on this one. So, but yes, we've talked about the PV. Basically, it looks like it has this angel girl. That's going to be probably the straight man of the jokes for this series. She looks like she's an angel that's been saved by them and seems to have high regard for them, and then immediately realizes that they go to this red light district and rates, I guess, all these different monster girls, and she's not too happy about that, seemingly. So, but yes, very cute monster girls, lots of ecchi. I'm sure it will be. I guess my only hesitation on the show is that I hope the comedy is solid, because the comedy will make or break this show. If it's going to have good jokes in it, or if it's just going to be straight comedy that kind of gets boring after a while.
Yeah, this is definitely, I as much as I would love to see this, it's going directly to my honorable mention list. This is one that I've been kind of excited about more because I just know it's going to be kind of goofy. But yeah, I agree. It's going to be hit or miss. If the comedy is not spot on, it's going to go right to the dustbin, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. ID Invaded is the next one we have. This one is the virtual world of ID Invaded is full of tumbling, floating houses, colliding masses of land, and disappearing structures. Sakaido, a detective, finds himself in a world, in this world, and is quickly tasked with unraveling the murder of Keru, a young girl who is fatally stabbed. Soon it becomes apparent that the unconventional physics rules of this new world aren't limited to buildings or roads, since Sakaido's body also presents various states of disconnection. That sounds like a very, very interesting synopsis. Again, like I said, we don't really listen to or don't really read these beforehand. But this was one that I was actually keeping an eye on, mainly because as I was putting down all the information for it, it does have a lot of people working on it that I have liked to keep an eye on for quite a while now. Troika's working on it, who, of course, Troika did All Know Zero, Recreators, Bloom Into You, and Lord El Meloy. The genres are sci-fi mystery. The source is original. It's being directed by E.I. Aoki, who did All Know Zero and Fate Zero. The script work is being done by Maijao Otaru, who did The Dragon Dentist, so... Interesting. Very. I haven't watched The Dragon Dentist yet, admittedly, but I have heard positive things about it. But like I said, I have been watching and keeping an eye on Troika and Aoki for their work for some time now and enjoyed a lot of their stuff. So, an original work by them, a scriptwriter that has had some positivity in the anime sphere, it definitely has my interest. So, we'll see if it can pull off something really cool.
Sounds curious. Looks really off the wall. We've got arms bouncing around, splitting up into lots of little pieces. We've got floating buildings, people bouncing around like they've been shot in the head. Yeah, so we're all over the place.
It does look very... I wouldn't say it's in the realm of like mind-bending or anything like that, but very abstract.
Yeah.
Visually abstracting. So yeah, I guess my only kind of question on it was, is really going to be in if the characters can really carry a solid story like that. But that's something we'll have to see with the actual show itself. So we'll see.
Nope, he did get shot in the head. Never mind.
Yep. I'm assuming that's going to happen eventually. It's in a virtual world. He's doing something that somebody probably doesn't want him doing. Yeah. And they're extracting his arm pieces. And apparently they feel it. So that's
I'm
not
assuming
good.
He's feeling it.
Yeah. Yes, definitely one that I'm definitely looking forward to. We will see if Troika can create another series that I will fully enjoy. So
here's your polygon.
There are very few times Troika has let me down, so
you clicked just the wrong link.
Just the second season of Val Noah Zero has been the only time that Troika has let me down, so they have a good track record so far. Good track record. Moving on, we have Kute Dragons. It's time to see what dragons taste like. The crew of airship Queen Zaza makes their living hunting dragons succeed, and the reward is riches and all the meat they can eat. Fail, and all that awaits them is messy end. Following the grand hunting and cooking adventures of Queen Zaza as they chase dragons across the sky.
Cooking adventures.
What'd I say? The grand hunting and
no. Extenuating what you just said.
Gotcha. Of course, the studio that he's mentioned is Polygon Pictures. Well, he didn't really mention the studio. He said your studio. Apparently, it's my studio.
Yes, that's your studio.
That's again like Troika. There's very few that I don't like from Polygon Pictures. So yeah, Ajin, Knights of Zidonia, the Godzilla trilogy movies. And Blamu. Genres are fantasy, action, adventure. Sources of manga. The script series composition is being done by Makoto Uezu, who did Akame ga Kill, Assassination Classroom, Arpeggio Blue Steel, Arslan Senki, Katana Gatari, Scum's Wish, School Days, Utada Wanamono, Yuki Yuna is a Hero, lots of stuff. So that is a huge plus on that one. At the same time, I don't know. Like I said, I always look forward to Polygon Pictures titles. They are pretty much one of the very few studios that does CGI that I enjoy. So I do look forward to whatever they do work on. The PV was probably the only thing that kind of gives me some pause. I don't know why. I guess it's some styles to the characters or whatever kind of is off-putting, but I don't know. We will see if they can pull off another series that I will fall in love with, but it's Netflix. Damn it. It's Netflix. I've seen it on the end of the PV. Okay. We will just cut that out of the podcast and paste it into the spring 2020 preview, because that's when we'll be looking forward to it. Well, okay. Don't have to worry about putting that in your list. Moving on. Thank you, Netflix. Enjoy.
You mean it doesn't go in your list.
Enjoy killing another series, Netflix. Nah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm still looking forward to it. It's just I'm not going to put it in my list because it's not even that we're going
to
be watching.
So. I'll be curious as to if this one actually works out for you, because the fact that they said cooking in there makes me very curious if this is going to be kind of a half and half, you know, where they go on their goofy adventure and at the end of the day they all goof off talking about this wonderful cook.
Well, see, there's the thing.
There is actual meals in this the video. So we see a sandwich at some point. There is a steak.
But it's not half of the PV.
No, it's not half the PV.
But my point is that if they trivialize the dragons by making it to where they kill one in an episode and then chop it up and talk about how you cook it, it's going to trivialize the fights they do. Unless they make them very unique and it still looks like a struggle, but they do something very special to take them down every time, it's going to really trivialize the dragons. I mean, the PV makes it sound like the dragons aren't trivialized. They could screw up and they could die, kind of thing. So
no, and that's what I'm saying. It's very curious as to why they specifically say cooking, and then there is an actual emphasis on it in the PV. Not that there is necessarily a large portion of it being dedicated to the cooking, but it makes me wonder about that.
I think it's going to be a lot of the socializing of it.
Very possible.
I'm going to probably assume it's something similar to Emiya Family, where most of the episode's not necessarily like the eating part of it and the reaction to the eating part of it. Most of it's really just kind of the socializing about what they're picking up and then eating it later.
Right.
Later.
Just like Fairy Tale isn't technically a bar show. It just so happens that their main base is in a bar.
Okay.
Well, it would if they were to put that in there and you were to see a bar in the
Fairy
TV,
Tale, yeah, always spends their time in a bar where there's a bunch of tables and diner. It's like a diner. So but yeah, that is a good point, Chris. I will hesitate now because there's food eating in it.
I just kill a show for you?
We'll see if it turns into Polygon Pictures food porn. Can a CGI food porn show work? Of course, I think probably technically a lot of the shots are going to be like not even, yeah, these aren't even CGI'd. They're just like flat images of the food, because they're not going to sit there and render a bunch of food plates and meat. So there you go. It's going to be un-CGI. It's going to be like the opposite to when we complain about shows that are 2D having CGI in it. It's going to be like, dang it, all this 2D stuff inside the CGI show. Look, they're cutting corners. As technically their way of cutting corners is not rendering certain things. So there you go. Which is odd, because a lot of people do CGI to save money. All right, moving on. That's enough beating that horse. Let's move on to Koisuru Asteroid. This one is... I'm not clicking the link. When she was little, Mita Kinohata met a boy named Ao at a town camping. While gazing at the starry sky together, Mira learns that there is a star with the same name as herself, but no star named Ao. I just keep thinking of Ao Chunk and Study. Oh, poor guy. I wonder if he's related to... The two then promise to one day explore asteroids together and find a star to name it after him. Several years later, Mita enrolls at the Hoshizaki High School and decides to join the astronomy club to fulfill her promise. However, she learns that the astronomy club will be merged into Geographical Research Society to form the Earth Science Club. Reluctantly, Mita decides to join the club, and Mita goes to the club room and is reunited with Ao Manaka, the person she made the promise to explore asteroids with, and is shocked to learn that she is a girl. I knew that was coming. Because I haven't seen any boys in the PV from the corner of my eye, so I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a girl.
They did show a backflash with a boy, but no, I didn't see any boys. I was like, well, that seems odd. And then you mentioned the merging of the things. Oh, maybe they're going to merge in to find the boy. And then why would the boy be in the
Yeah, he said screw it a long time ago and went to go get into geography. The two are joined by upperclassmen Mai Inose and Sakurai Mikage, a second and third year student from the Geological Research Society, and Mita Morino, a third year student from the Astronomy Club. So, yeah. Of course, the big grab for us on this one is it's Dogokubo. So we love Dogokubo.
Yeah.
All our stuff is always...
That's why it looks so good.
Yeah. Very good looking shows. It pulls off, you know, the more cutesy style characters, but very well animated and very lively characters, which always is a plus for us. So they just look very beautiful. And
we're awesome.
You know, they kind of jump back and forth between being more cutesy, cute girl doing cute things and trying to hit on topics. So maybe this will be one of the ones where they're going to really hit on something more personalized and, you know, character driven. So we'll see.
It is kind of interesting that it is the, what you've got down here is that it's the series composition of Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. So that makes a little bit more sense on the, how the characters are kind of familiar looking. So yeah, that's an interesting aspect as well.
Yeah. That's Yuka Yamada, who did Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid and Wataten for the series composition. So there you go. Source is a manga, and the genres are comedy, slice of life. And, yeah, look forward to that one. More Dogokubo is always a plus for us. So, another... Probably end up being the sugar show of the season. I don't know that I remember seeing anything else that looks very sugary, so we'll see. I don't remember seeing anything that was, like, strictly, yeah, that's cute girls. So, there you go. Cool stuff. Moving on, we have the Artsy Fartsy Show of the Season. Just kidding. This is one that I know that people are technically looking forward to, so there you go. It is Eizoukin ni wa te wo dasu na. This one is, the story follows Midori, Tsubame, and Sayaka, and an energetic trio of first-year high school students who come together in the Eizoukin, or Video Research Club, to turn their anime dreams into reality. Midori is nervous to create an anime alone. She meets Tsubame, who enters to be a well-to-do girl, but she really has artistic dreams of being an animator. Midori's best friend, Sayaka, has the financial sense to bring the project to fruition and joins the pair on their quest. This one's being done by Science Saru. It, of course, did Devilman Crybaby, Night is Short, and Walk on Girl. These genres are adventure, comedy, sources of manga. And the director is Masaaki Yuasa, who did Devilman Crybaby, Ping Pong the Animation, and the Tatami Galaxy, as well as Night is Short, and Walk on Girl. So, very high pedigree for the more artistic style shows and narratives, so definitely is one that I know a lot of people are looking forward to. I am going to reserve my judgment until I actually watch it. I think when we first watched the PV a while back, I had this very strong sense of, I don't like this style whatsoever, but we'll see. So there's a lot of character just designs and stuff in it that I'm just not. And of course, that's kind of something that I get a lot with Science Saru and a lot of works from Masaki. I do appreciate artistic direction. Just sometimes it's direction that looks off-putting to me. So,
well, only one character I like the artwork of. Yeah. To take it, but it does seem kind of odd. I wonder about it. I'm really, really curious. I think I've seen something about this before, haven't we?
We watched a PV on it and everything. So there's a lot more,
and it was a lot more random.
Yeah, it was very random.
Because I want to say that we've seen it at night, and we were really mixed on it because it was just so random. I want to say that it was like they were like drawing all kinds of stuff, and it was taking
drawings and stuff.
Yeah.
I really need to see it in motion. It's really going to be the takeaway. But yeah, like I said, I'm not a fan of the character designs and stuff. So it's a very big if. Very big if. But I am looking forward to it based off a fact of the creators and, you know, artistic direction they possibly can do with it. So
Madoka's about to drop off of my list.
Your list of 20? Okay, moving on before I get hate mail for not liking Masaki's work. So wouldn't be the first time. I love hitting that first link. I don't know why. Moving on. We have the Mashu show of the season. Mashu the Animation, or Fate Grand Order Mashu... Babylonia Front something. I don't know.
I don't know about Mashu, but this is definitely Tank Girl.
It is Tank Girl, the animation, yes. So yeah, the title, the English pending title, and as always, all these English titles are always subject to change. I hate being in pain, so I think I'll make a full defense build. Or Itai no wa iya nanode bogyo iroku ni Kyoku furi shitai to omoimasu. Kaede Honjo was invited by her friends Risa Shiromine to play VR MMO. A VR MMO. This is sounds like a quote from her. I don't hate games, but painful things are little. No, I hate it very, very much. The pain would be reduced if I place stat points in defense power. Then the only place where I can place it is there, right? Right? Solidify into defense powers. Very hard. Here I come. It's a very broken English, but that you get the idea of what she's doing. Essentially, she doesn't like pain, so she's going to stat up her character and nothing but defense. I think another synopsis kind of hits on the idea that she puts so much in defense that she creates like this new ability that is like a super fortress attack or something like that. I forget exactly what it was called, but it essentially defense so high it turns into a counter or something like that. So there you go. Studio is Silver Link, which did Kokoro Connect, Watamode, Nanomiyori, Yurikuma Rashi, Mitsubishi Colors, and amongst other things. Genres are adventure, action, comedy, fantasy, slice of life. The source is a light novel, and there's two directors listed for it. One didn't really have much listing on him, but the other director did list as Shin Onuma, who did Fate Kalai Liner, C3, Baka to Test, Unhappy, Kokoro Connect, Nejima, and Watamote. His series composition is being done by Fumihiko Shimo, who did Clannad, Air TV, Golden Time, and New Game. So hopefully that director is actually involved. And if so, a lot of very solid people working on this one. A studio that we have gotten a lot of great stuff from. So I have a lot of hope for this one. She's a very cute looking character. Sounds like an interesting idea. I hope it turns into, again, similar to that other VR MMO show that we were talking about earlier. Just make something fun out of it. Just have people wanting to enjoy a game. So it sounds like it'd be really cool. So there you go.
I love it. I love the concept. I love the character. I love tanks. So this is just right up my alley for me.
He means tank as a class in a VR MMO or yes. RPG. It's like, wait, I didn't remember them talking about tanks when they were talking about this show. Yeah,
I don't.
Defensive classes.
I technically don't know if she's going to be a tank. She's just, you know, she looks like a tank.
Looks like everybody's kind of looking to her, and then it shows her kind of standing before something. So I can see that. Who knows? She looks like the girl from the art club has a problem. I was trying to place it, and I finally found it. At least in the real world, where she has a little bit longer hair. So, anyways, this is one that I seen the PV pop up on Aniplex, or maybe it was Kadokawa. Yeah, it was Kadokawa. I popped up on Kadokawa's feed a while back, and I seen it. And I was like, "What is this? A mobile game?" I'm like, "Please don't be a mobile game. This looks really cool." And then it turns out to be a series. So I was really kind of happy to see that. So cool stuff. Looking forward to that one. Next, another one that was kind of, you know, popped up on our radar here recently, and we were kind of intrigued by it, so hopefully it turns into be something solid. And that is Smile Down the Runway, or Runway de Warate. This one is Chiyuki Fujito has a dream to become Paris Collection model. The problem is, she's too short to be a model, and everyone around her tells her so. But no matter what they say, she won't give up. Her classmate, a poor student named Ikuto Sumura, also has a dream to become a fashion designer. One day, Chiyuki tells him that it's probably impossible for him, causing him to consider giving it up. This is the story of two individuals wholeheartedly chasing after their dreams in spite of all the negativity that comes after them. And this was being done by Studio Ezola. The dramas are slice of life drama. The sources of manga. The series composition is being done by Yoko Machida, who did Happy Sugar Life, Harakana Receive, Chiaika, The Coffin Princess, Lucky Star, and Show by Rock. So, solid series composition writer. Yeah, this one definitely does look more like a more mature show. So a lot of those people out there that are like, why can't we get more, you know, college students, more adult life, that kind of stuff? This is definitely one you probably want to keep an eye out for. It is kind of technically, to be perfectly honest, a side of a business that I have nearly zero interest in whatsoever. So it's going to be very heavily reliant on if I like the characters and I want them to succeed or not. Because I doubt my interest is going to be really be driven by the fashion industry. The fashion industry has always been something I just absolutely don't care about and hate. So hopefully they have the characters and the story to really drive it for me.
This is frustrating because I can guarantee you, as far as artwork is concerned and how this looks, I am absolutely wanting to watch this so bad. I cannot wait to see it. But unfortunately, with my list, I'm going to have to put it on kind of going right straight into my honorable mentions list, because like with what Andrew is saying, I don't know that this story is really going to work for me, but definitely the artwork has got me hooked bad.
You just like that smile, huh?
I love it.
It's got a great smile at the end of the PV. It looks like, I'm trying to remember. It looks like, I guess the girl from Tadakun Never Falls in Love. Maybe it's who I'm thinking of is her.
The character artwork has got it. That smile's got it. The eyes have got it for me. I'm definitely hooked on the artwork.
There you go. Smile Down the Runway. Next one. This is one as a... For the people that don't know, they have not listened to our previews in the past, I usually kind of mention at the beginning of them, you know, this is kind of a project to really... Our project on our previews is to really, our focus is to, you know, inform people on more than just the title and synopsis. It really is to kind of dive into hopefully who's creating it and some possible things to look out for based on who's creating it and who's working on it. But there's certain ones where I run into where I'm like, oh, I want to dive into this one so badly because there's got to be something behind this. Hopefully there's something behind this. And I could be completely wrong and somebody's going to jump out there and say, no, I actually found this about it that actually does credit it. But to get into it, 22-7, or 22/7-7, what do you want to call it? I guess you could say it's like 22 hours, 7 days a week, maybe. I don't know. It is a digital idol project by the AKB48 producer, Yasushi Akimoto. And that's really all they have for it. It's essentially a new idol group that they're trying to create their own series for. So think of, you know, the School Idol Project, something like that, Love Live. It is a series that they're going to build around these characters who are going to be idols. And then they'll probably, you know, take that into them performing in live kind of thing, just like Love Live they do. The interesting thing on this one, though, is it's the studio's A1 Pictures and the genres of music, sources of media, multimedia project. The interesting thing on this one is besides the fact that it is listed as a project by the producer in AKB48, there really isn't anybody working on this that has, I guess, experience with idol shows or any kind of like anything like that. And I'm assuming it's one of those things where A1 Pictures and AKB48 is trying to create a new anime style or maybe origin style idol group, but there's not really anybody working on it that has any kind of, I guess, experience in that kind of stuff. So there's no real history there. That's my only kind of questionable aspect of it. Other than that, if you like idol shows, you're probably going to want to jump onto this. If you like Idol Master, School Live, or School Live. If you like School Live, you can watch it too. Love Live, stuff like that. You're probably going to want to check them out and see if there are any, you know, a solid series. But yeah, I think the one of the original, I don't know if it was a series composition or something like that, somebody working on it is actually has a manga based on the concept of, it was called AKB 49. It was this concept of this girl that wanted to join AKB48 and some love interest around that. So I guess you have that, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm not trying to nag on it as if it's going to be a failure based on those aspects, because I'm sure Love Live, when it first came out, didn't have people working on it that were experiencing that kind of stuff. It is one of those things where that aspect gets me excited. Like, what was it? Wake Up Girls had a, One of the idol shows had a writer that was actually an old singer. So she had experience in that kind of stuff. And I was really excited for it for that. It didn't turn out, but there you go. We'll see.
Yeah. The funny thing about this is it actually looks like it might scratch an itch that kind of missing one of the
characters. You're itching?
Yeah, I guess in a way. The character design is absolutely gorgeous, and it really has this kind of a nostalgic feel to it that really seems like it could work really well for me.
Yeah. Oh, it's like full CGI looking stuff. This must be like an app or something.
Yeah, that doesn't look all that great.
That's telling me that when they do the performances, they're probably going to use CGI, unless that's from an app or something like that. There's another video we found that's got a music video of the characters singing a song, and it's fully CGI. So they could possibly not use CGI in the actual show. Maybe this is just a random music video they made, but I would say that's probably a good sign they're going to use CGI, which all of them now do, which is unfortunate. Even Zombieland Saga did, and I was like, ew, gross. It's good CGI, at least. It looks, except for the hair. That hair would look like it had a life of its own. The blonde hair. Look at this, has a life of its own. It's like just hanging out in the air. She's not like moving really fast forward. It's just kind of just hanging out there. And she turns and it's still hanging out there.
The wind is kind of high right now. You know?
It's turning two different directions, though.
They're on a roof.
It's like two different directions it's going. Look at it. See, it's going that way.
Look.
Anyways, nobody knows what we're talking about. So probably terrible radio, but why can't they do... Just animate him. I guess they are animating. Just not the way Andrew was. All right, moving forward. We have Hatena Illusion. The series centers around Makoto Shida Nui, a boy who travels to Tokyo seeking to become the apprentice of Mamoru Hoshisato, a world-famous magician and friend of his parents. Ever since he had watched a show by Momoro and his wife, Maive, he had dreams of being a magician. Their daughter, Kana, nicknamed Hatena, has been Makoto's friend since childhood, Even though Tokyo has had a rash of burglaries by a beautiful woman thief, Makoto can rest easy as long as Hatena is there. When he arrives at the Hashisato residence, a haunted mansion, the family butler Jeeves and the maid Emma greet him, and he is reunited with Hatena, only to find out they don't really get along now. And I'm going to assure you, Hatena is the thief. Let's just get that out of the way.
I remember us bumping into that before, so.
Yep, and I joked about that then, too. Studio is Children's Playground Entertainment, who hasn't really had anything at all. The genres are comedy, ecchi, romance, supernatural. Source is a light novel. Creator Tomohiro Matsu is known for Fairy Tale Girls, Listen to Me Girls, I'm Your Father, so. One that didn't get a very good adaptation at all. And one that I enjoyed personally, even though it did have its, you know, questionable aspects they kind of threw in there that I didn't like, but there you go. Solid creator. Interesting premise. We'll see. We'll see how that one turns out. You wrote it down, so you have something positive to say.
Oh, no. Like I said, that we had bumped into it before and that I was super excited about it. I love the character artwork. Love the concept. I can't wait to see what they actually do with this and if it how they're going to play off of it and why exactly she doesn't like him, unless it's just that she doesn't like
him. He's going to walk in on her in the first episode when he arrives at the mansion. You know that.
Because he's being because it's she's labeled getting changed.
Edgy. Because it's labeled edgy.
Yeah, gotcha.
So it's going to be the thing that's going to immediately...
You saw me, didn't you?
It's going to immediately ruin their friendship from the get-go. It's the moment that he walks in there and sees that, so... Unfortunately, we don't really have a PB to work for.
Has to take responsibility.
But yes, I do agree with you. I do really like her art style, personally, so... We'll see how it turns out. A destructive god sits next to me. Boku Haka. The Japanese title is Boku no Tonari ni Ankoku Hakai Shin ga Imasu. This one is Seri Koyuki is just trying to have a normal school life, but instead he ends up acting as the straight man to his odd classmate, Kabuto Hanadori. Kabuto is a delusional high school student whose fantasy range from believing he is a knight on a journey to claiming that removing his eye patch will release a dark alter ego, who he refers to as Michael Offenbarung Dunkelheit. Seri is determined not to let himself get pushed around by Kabuto, but it seems that this will be easier said than done. This one is Studio EMT Squared, who did Assassin's Pride, Renai Bokuin. These genres are comedy, slice of life, the source of manga. And the series composition is Natsuko Takahashi, who did Nobunaga Concerto, My Love Story, Tokyo Magnitude 8.0, and Poco's Udon World. So lots of series that Chris really likes, and one I like. Two I like, actually, Magnitude and Nobunaga's Concerto. Are you getting anything more than that synopsis out of that PV? Because that PV does not sound interesting to me at all.
It looks like pretty much what it's describing to me. It sounds like kind of this weird take on Tenori no Seki-kun or something like that, where it's just that this particular one is he's a chunibyo. But it does look like we have other characters involved, so... Who knows? The more and more characters that are introduced, the more and more things that he's being the straight man to.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it of course is always going to kind of something like this is always going to rely heavily on the characters, but I guess I'm getting way too much. I'm a little bit fatigued on the idea of that concept because of here wasn't this season the one that has the girl who has the Chuny Club that is helping her with stuff.
Yeah, that didn't seem like that worked out real well for me. So I don't know.
I admitted to it in our first impressions. This idea that I'm sure this is probably watching this is the same thought that you know women have and guys watching Love Chunin to be another delusion. So just girls being goofy versus guys being goofy. And so, yeah, well, we'll see. There's only so many times I can watch a show where a guy goes, oh, my eye, the demon's coming out. We get it. So there you go. Well, we'll see. That's a big if for me so far until something else happens. And we actually watch the show. This one that's been, I don't know how long we've been waiting for the show to come out, but I guess it's apparently still finally here. The English title, tentatively, is If the Fan Goes to Budokan, She'll Die. Or Oshi ga Budokan Iteku Letara Shinu. And this one is a girl is obsessed with her favorite idol, a minor member of the less popular group, enough that she says she'd die to see her play at Budokan. Budokan. Get that right. This duo is 8-Bit, who did Reincarnated as a Slime, Fruit of Gaia, Tokyo Ravens, Encouragement to Climb, and Stars Align. The genres are music and comedy. The source is a manga. The director is Yusuke Yamamoto, who did Yamada's First Time, Welcome to the NHK, Shonen Maid, Encouragement to Climb. The source composition is being done by Hitomi Mieno, who did Amanchu, Real Girl, Arakawa Under the Bridge, Flying Witch, and Urara Merkucho. So, very solid people working on it. Very solid studio. And a show that I've been kind of... I don't know if it's going to be something I'm going to enjoy, but it sounds interesting enough. So, I'm hoping it'll be something solid. Your thoughts?
I still don't know what to make of this show. The concept is interesting, but at the same time, what is the concept? That's what it really comes down to is she going to die, or is she just so hardcore that she would die to go there?
I don't think the title has anything to do with what's going to show out. I think it's just kind of expressing how much she really does love this idol. And I'm kind of assuming it's going to be turning one of those things where you do have a girl who thinks that she's not that important in the idol sphere, suddenly realize that she has somebody that really does appreciate her. And at the same time, you have the other person who's kind of following them around and trying to give them support.
Okay.
Which now, I think would be really cool. I could actually be a really solid Yuri, by the way. but see, it does look really sweet in that regard. But yeah, can you make it into a full-on show?
Yeah.
It really depends on what kind of things they're going to run into. Is it going to turn into her supporting her and then the other side, the girl actually pushes to be something greater? I guess it really depends on how much they're going to push on each side. It looks, based off the PV, that it's showing equal parts, both of them. So it could be a you know, both sides of the picture, the fans and the one trying hard.
And that could be good. I don't doubt that would be pretty awesome as far as a show. I mean, because especially if you could integrate the idea of her always paying attention to her number one fan and the number one fan and is always paying attention to her. So that could be a good show if we actually take the time for that.
Well, it's funny enough is that I thought that based on the title and everything that it was going to be a strictly comedy. It does look like there's comedy in the actual PV, but it actually looks more drama based. There's a lot more, it looks like serious tones in the actual PV itself. Yeah, there's the goofiness of her being obsessed with the girl, her clocking herself as she's talking to her favorite idol ever, but it looks like there's a lot of emotion there too. And I do like the art style to it. It does look really good. Honestly, it's getting more hyped about this the more I think about it.
Yeah, me too. I think that the closed caption on that particular scene is probably going to break your Apple TV again.
Oh, okay. I guess.
For whatever reason, I think it's Amazon that does it. Whenever the caption is too long, it breaks the
or there's multiple people talking, they suck at it's using the caption brackets. It's like not having that actually implanted on the video itself really does suck sometimes. So yeah, the more I think about that show, the more I'm and I could totally be wrong and it flop bad, but it's
everything if it goes in the direction
to being a very solid show and possibly a gem.
I actually think that if it goes in the direction that you're saying, then I absolutely, I think that's, it's going to be an awesome show.
Yeah. If the fan goes to Budokan, she'll die. Shina. All right, moving on. We have number 24. This one, the anime's college rugby story centers around Natsusa Yuzuki, who expects to be an ace on the rugby team when he enrolls in college. However, he is no longer able to play rugby due to certain circumstances. Ibuki Ueoka is an older fellow student who quit rugby. Yasunari Suru is a younger student who finds Natsusa disagreeable. Yu Mashiro is a younger student who admires the follows Natsusa. Seichiro is Natsusa's close childhood friend. Together, they compete in Kansai University Rugby League.
But he can't play anymore. What's the point?
Maybe Yukon's a coach. Or a referee. Who knows? He doesn't actually have to play. What makes you assume he's going to play? They're going to play.
They just said that they were going to play.
They are. Not him. Who knows?
They're going to go to the Kansai District tournament. So, obviously, they're going to play.
That was a useless PB. It's going to be a bunch of stills and a CGI football flying in the air, apparently.
There you go.
So, studio is PRA. I have nothing on them. Genres are sports. Source is original. I think I seen somewhere in there that somebody...
I see CGI.
I think a scriptwriter is working... It was the one that worked on Ice Shield. So, if you liked Ice Shield, I doubt this is Ice Shield. But you might find some kind of connection there, as there's some kind of... same people working. I think it was a series composition writer, though. Yes. The script writer for Ice Shield is doing series composition for this one, so that's all I got. That's all I got, and that's not much. So, if you want to see cute guys playing rugby, which seems to be a popular thing lately, I think there's been like 3 shows in the last 3 years about rugby playing guys, so there's no shortage there. Just check it out. If that sounds interesting to you. Yep. The Case Files of Jeweler Richard is our next one we have, which is Japanese titles Hose Kisho Richardshi no Nazo Kante. The heartwarming jeweler mystery series centers on the handsome jewelry appraiser Richard Ranashinha. I'm not reading that last one. Dvorpian, I guess, Dvorpian, and the bright and cheerful college student Seiji Nakata, as they uncover the hidden messages that lie within jewels, while they solve various jewel-related cases by unraveling the hidden psychological aspects of their owners that lie within the gems. Wow. What's the word? When something sounds like it's more intelligent than it is. What's the word? Trying to think of it. I'm sure somebody's yelling at their speakers. Anyways, studio is Shuka, who did 91 Days, Natsumi's Jujincho. That's the studio that basically took over on a lot of those properties when the previous studio kind of dropped them. Genres are mystery, sources novel. Director is the same one that did 1 Week Friends, Sweetness and Lightning, Eden of the East. I don't know why I didn't write their name, so I can actually tell you who they are. It is Taro Iwasaki. So, there you go. Very different show.
Pretentious.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for. Now, I'm not saying that's the case here. It's just, it's one of those kind of... It could be cool. But it could all, that is one of those ones where it is going to be good or not. I just don't see a middle ground for a show with a story like that. But we'll see. Very much seems like it's more aimed towards the more pretty guys kind of stuff. So, very, very yaoi looking kind of thing. So, we'll see. Any thoughts?
Not a lot of interest in this one, oddly enough. It just doesn't seem like... I don't know. Maybe the gym thing will be kind of interesting. I don't know.
That's what I mean. It's like, you got to pull something off here.
Yeah. I mean,
is it just going to be about the pretty guys hanging out with each other, or is there going to be something actually?
It sounds
there?
Almost like that one that we had a couple seasons ago where the girl bumped into the guy who was kind of a weird Sherlock for artifacts or something like that.
Well, that was the brother and sister one where they took care of the,
no, that was
the items that were like,
that one spirit. Actually had an excuse for what it was doing. This one was the one where she was he was in an antique store, and
the stupid girl.
Yeah,
with all the bricks.
The bricks girl.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, he was more like he was putting value to things. Yeah. Like a pawn shop kind of thing. So there was an element to that one, I guess. But yeah, he kind of looked into things like a Sherlock Holmes kind of person. Somebody can walk in with an item and unroll it, and he'd just like tell him everything about it.
About the item, and then plus your entire life history.
Yeah, and you're a terrible person because you obviously dropped this on the floor while you were beating your wife. And it's like, what? Where did you get that wine? And the guy like storms out of the house going, oh no, he knows. Oh. Yeah, that was a weird one. That was a weird one. All right, let's move on to something fun. Something we've been waiting for a long time. Yes.
There it is.
We all... I can speak for everybody listening to this, and when I say that probably the best repeating concept in anime, no, it's not the isekai. No, it's not the fix the yokai. The one thing that always comes back pretty much every single season, and we absolutely cannot wait for the next iteration of it, is Oda Nobunaga. So yes, I know, you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, when's this show coming? I love Oda Nobunaga shows, so I need the next Oda Nobunaga show. Well, this one is called Oda Cinnamon Nobunaga. This synopsis is, in the one-of-a-kind samurai general reincarnation as a canine comedy, Nobunaga perishes at Honnoji, as in history, and reincarnates in modern-day Japan as a dog named Shinemon. Other warring states-era warlords such as Takeda Shingen eventually join him, also as dogs. Yes, I know. It's amazing. Studio is going to be Studio Pierrot, who did Tokyo Ghoul, Naruto, Bleach, Midori no Hibi Days, Kimakure, Orange Road. Genres are comedy, historical, seinen, and slice of life. Take out that comedy part. This is going to be a serious show, I can guarantee it. This source is a manga. So, yeah.
The tail, it probably tried to take his food. I've seen the issues that this can cause when your tail tries to take your food. It is not pretty.
I totally thought this was going to be like a full-on CGI show, but it looks like there's no CGI, which is surprising. Because usually studios cannot handle drawing animals, especially dogs. Yeah, this looks absolutely nuts, and I am looking forward to it. Dang, Oda is jumping on a schoolgirl. This looks like this could turn inappropriate.
I do really want to see this. This could be so fun if they do it right, so yeah.
It just sounds... It can go so many different ways. I mean, I expect the idea of them kind of... Does he have too much pride? A lot of them have, like, too much pride to accept the fact that they are now this? How long does it take them to really kind of come to grasp with it? Does it turn into a thing where they try to reclaim the glory they once had, but as dogs? And it's always being foiled by the fact that they are dogs and they can't even get out of the fence? That kind of stuff? There's so many possible things they can do with it as a comedy, and I cannot wait for it. So he's really mad at his tail too.
It's a stupid tail, I'm telling you. You don't understand.
I didn't look into any of the voice actors, but this is definitely one of those ones that can be turned up like 1,000% if they get some solid seiyus. All right, yeah, looking forward to that one. Moving on, we have Murenase Shiton Gakuen, or Come Together to the Seton Academy. This one is Seton Academy, a school full of animals, where thanks to popular decline, there are fewer humans than any other creature. Mazama Jin, an animal hater and the only human male in the class, falls in love with Hino Hitomi, the only female human, the moment he lays eyes on her. However, he soon finds himself entangled with various other creatures after he reluctantly joins the pack of Lankan the Wolf. Of Lanka the Wolf. The only other member of her pack. Studio is Gakumi. Comedy, ecchi, romance for the genres, and the source is a manga. So. That sounds interesting, I guess. I don't know. Again, this is going to be another one that just really is going to rely heavily on if they can pull off those jokes well enough, because I'm always for animal girls. So.
And it's a wolf girl. That's what's awesome.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Not so sure that I like the pink hair, but she's a wolf girl, so I can get over the small things.
I was really kind of half expecting it to turn into one of those things where the girl that he is wanting to confess to is actually an animal girl. Unless that's her right there. Okay. We'll see. We will see. All right. ARP, Backstage Pass. ARP, normally an abbreviation for Artist Republic Production, is a dance vocal group which holds live performances featuring singing, dancing, and interactive talking with the audience in real time using latest augmented reality technology. The Ikemen, or handsome group members, including their de facto leader Shinji, the talented dancer Leon, and the member of the Rebel Cross duo, designer Daya, and composer writer Rage. Genres or music. I don't have anything else.
It's a show made for you, Andy.
Sure. So if you're looking for some handsome dudes dancing and performing and having
and made
troubled
just for
life,
Andrew. And made just for Andrew. This is the
show
for you.
Join Andrew and watching weekly come winter. Last one we have for the new shows is called Breakers.
I mean, look at the way he's dancing. He's dancing just for you, Andrew.
Oh my gosh, his shirt's open. Holy crap.
He even pointed at you, Andrew.
I need a drink.
Look, he's pointing at you again.
I don't want to look. I got to finish this podcast. Breakers. Humans have the power to release their potentials under various conditions. Those who break through the wall named the limit, that is para-athlete boys and girls who met heretic sports scientist Narita Rin, got hints from Narita. What the hell is this freaking synopsis? Yeah, basically people with disabilities doing athletic stuff. So there you go. The studio is Abacro. The genre is sports and the source is original. I wish I could find more information on this one just because it does look very unique. It is going to be a show which, I mean, based off the key art, looks like a guy that has no legs. Another athlete that looks like he's missing one leg. They all look like they're from different sports, like basketball. Looks like sprint running, swimming, different things. So it does look sci-fi based on there being like a Haro-like looking ball sitting on the ground. And somebody looks like he has like Cyclops visors on. So hopefully it doesn't go too far in the realm of like super sci-fi stuff. But I know there is... it would be cool to have a show that is about, you know, disabilities and sports, but we'll see if it doesn't try to push it too far to make it more fantastical, I guess, with sci-fi. So we shall see.
Yeah, it sounds curious. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with it. I've got a soft spot for underdogs, so it should really work for me.
Yep. All right, let's get into the returning series, shows that are coming back that you probably love and want more of. We have first off is Haiku to the
Please
Top.
Don't yell at me about going finishing up to go and watch this.
It's only been 3 seasons, Chris. Yes, the 4th season of Haiku is coming, so all of you fans,
I'm sure
there,
every one of those seasons was 2 core, so.
No, I think one of them was a very short one, actually.
The first one was 1 core. Second one, I'm pretty
sure
was
two, and I think the third one was like 8 episodes. I think it was really short.
Was it?
I could be completely wrong. So there you go.
I'm sure you probably are completely and totally wrong.
The Quintessential Quintuplets is coming back for season two. And
about time.
I'm just going to say, I'm very hesitant on this next season. I almost want to leave it just as that one season because Best Girl was on top. And I know if I go into the core, it's going to start focusing on the other ones and she's going to get left in the dark. But she technically is in the middle on this key art. That is a very promising thing.
You know you want conclusion. You know you want it.
You know it's never going to finish. You know it's never going to finish. So yeah, there's this quintessential quintuplets. I actually was very surprised by the first season. It is a harem of 5 girls, 1 guy. But it did have some really strong moments in it and some very lovable characters. Some misses in there, but yeah. I don't know if I want to keep watching it. Anyways, a certain scientific railgun tea is coming out. So if you are a fan of railgun, which I am, just completely way too far behind to even be super excited. But I would like to get caught up if time ever let us. Bang Dream is coming back for a third season. So look forward to that if you're a Bang Dream fan. Then we have a remake of an original series back in 1998 and 1999 that is Majutsushi Orphan Haguri Tabi. It sounds familiar to me, but I do not think I've seen any of it, but there you go. Next one is ACT. Addict Actors, or A3. Season Spring and Summer. So more of that one. Look forward to that if you're a fan. We have Uchitama Uchi no Tama Shiri Masinkai, which is a spinoff of Tama and Friends. So look forward to that one. Show by Rock is coming back with Mashu Mai. I had this one. I had it in the discussion. Now I've lost it. Back to fighting to pronounce that. Mashu Mai Resh. Mai Resh. Mashu Mai Resh. Show by Rock Mashu Mai Resh, I guess, is coming. So look forward to that one. It's following a new band of girls and will be pretty much the new season coming up. And then we will apparently get another season of Show by Rock later this year, did we say?
Who cares? They're cute.
So there you go. So, yeah. No Cyan. Well, it did show Cyan in the PV, so there you go. Xenozard, the animation, is coming out. So look forward to that one if you're a fan of Xenozard. And then finally, we have Yo-Kai Watch Jam. It looks like a chibi-type style story or an anime about Yo-Kai Watch. So, there you go. And we have our short series coming up. We have The Return of Isekai Quartet. Yay!
Yes.
Which I think we've confirmed it will have the Shield Hero in it, amongst some other things. I think they were saying that there was going to be 2 other properties. Then they say 3 total, and they've only shown 1 of them. Maybe I'm wrong. Probably am wrong. So yeah, look forward to more isekai characters involved into shenanigans in a school. And then we have Heia Camp. I totally did not know this was coming. Maybe I did and I just totally forgot. But yes, a short based on the series called Euro Camp. Apparently there will be a second season coming later for Euro Camp. But for now we have Heia Camp coming out. So more cute girls doing camping, which we did really enjoy.
Yes.
Yuru Camp was very, very mellow, laid back, as the title would suggest, laid back camp series. So, Natsu Nagu is a short that's coming out. It says the synopsis, the anime story follows the coming of age Natsuna Keyaki, a college student from Tokyo who goes to Kumamoto after losing contact with her friend after the 2016 earthquakes. There, she meets an individual with colorful personalities, such as middle school girl Izumi, who began to light a passion in Natsuna. I believe this is one of those prefecture projects, so expect it to probably be very heavily relying on the actual prefecture she's going to, but it does have a cool concept, the idea of returning somewhere. I guess to give a lot of interest to a place that kind of has seen a lot of devastation, so there you go. The genres are slice of life drama, and it is a original. So, sounds cool.
It sounds interesting.
Yatagame-chan, Kansatsu Nikki 2 Satsume. So second season of Yatagame-chan.
So I think we kind of liked that one, didn't we?
Yeah, but I kind of dropped off on it. I did find a lot of the episodes to be a lot of fun, so I don't think that I completed it. I could be wrong. That's a lot of things I could be wrong this episode. We have Huling Babies Petite. So if you like the Huling Babies, I guess you can get the petite versions of the show coming out here soon. And then finally, Rebirth. The series revolves around a team of 12 high school students who love to play trading card games. The trading card game called Rebirth for You. So if you like trading card games and chibis, there you go. And that's been being done by Leiden Films. So, all right, finally, we have continuing series. So all the series that will be continuing from the fall 2019 season into the winter 2020 season, which will be My Hero Academia Season 4, Seven Deadly Sins, Food Wars Season 4, Fate Grand Order Absolute Front Babylonia, Welcome to Demon School, Irumakun, Ahiru no Sora, which I believe that one was supposed to be going, like, what, a year long? The Sora? Basketball one.
Yes, because we were saying that it was 56 episodes or something like that.
Chihafuru Season 3, Kabukicho Sherlock, Radiant Season 2, Phantasy Star Online 2 Episode Oracle, and Blade of the Immortal. Unfortunately, Sword Art Online and No Gun's Life will not be continuing into the winter season, even though they do have another core for both of those, so do expect that. So, yeah. So, yeah, and then finally we have movies, ONAs, and OVAs. There is one really important one to point out that could turn into an episodic release along with everything else, just going to be an ONA version, a net release, not a TV broadcast. So, we have movies. We do have Made in Abyss, Fukaki, Tamashii no Reme. So, that's the sequel movie, mating from this anime series. We have Shirobako movie, apparently, is going to be coming out. I will believe it when I see it in theaters. We have Goblin Slayer, Goblin's Crown sequel that will be going to release on February 1st. I'm not sure exactly where that is being released on. I'm guessing a net release. What was the ones? We have Danmachi, OVA. We have a My Mother Is So Hot and Has Double Attacks and Overpowered OVA. We have a Strike the Blood series OVA that's coming out. I won't believe that one either because we never see any of that. So I'm assuming that's just vaporware out there. We have the... what was that called? The Magical Girl, Demon Girl Next Door,
yeah,
OVA, which I hope we get as well. Nolpeta's getting an OVA. What was the big one I was looking forward to? Seven Seeds Season 2 will be coming out. I believe that is a Netflix release, right? I forget.
I don't know. Let's see. Akka 13. We haven't seen that in nearly 3 years. 4 years.
Yeah, it looks like a special episode for Akka. What was the one that I was looking for?
I'm surprised it wasn't Akka 13.
I guess it was Strike the Blood. It's getting 12 episodes. Not sure exactly if we will get any of it here, so. More Strike the Blood. Strike the Blood Season 4, apparently, so. Yep. No, I would not be excited for Akka 13, to correct you there. I wasn't a fan of Akka 13, so.
I thought we liked it. That was the 13 districts.
Right. I wasn't a fan. So. Not that I hated it or anything.
I seem to remember you liking it more than me, so.
Nope.
It was a long time ago, so.
Okay.
Whatever.
So. I have nothing written down. You have stuff written down. That puts you at an advantage, Chris. How do you feel right now being at an advantage?
Not very.
You're not very happy because your list is, what, 5 pages long and you have to break it down?
No, I've got 5. I don't like the fact that I have 5 that I'm on an honorable mention list.
Did we get an English title for the golem guy? Somali and the Forest Spirit. Somali and the Forest Spirit is the one with the ogre and the daughter. Yeah,
I put it down as Somali and Kami-sama.
I'm still playing Inspectra, even though I know it's probably going to turn into a fix the yokai thing. Just because I like the art style. Are we done 5?
Yeah.
Did you push it to 5?
Yes, because I have 5 in the
Voodoo.
Honorable mentions.
I'm like, I got it, and then another one pops up on the screen. I'm like, oh, I got 6.
This is absolutely a season of beat the crap out of Chris. Don't even bother with the Nobunaga. You know you don't want it on your list
because it's a comedy, and it always sucks putting comedies in lists. It's an honorable mention,
mm-hmm. at best.
There you go. I made 5, even though I did skip a few things like Runway. I just don't know. And I didn't put my Dogokubo show in. Dang it.
I didn't know there's...
Oh, and then you have the doctors, scientist thing.
Kikoi is the one that... I'm seriously thinking of tossing that in my honorable mentions. And then one of them that I had in the honorable mentions that's been bugging me. I don't remember which one. Which one was the reviewers?
The reviewers. That's the reviewers. Koisuru Asteroid... Oh, so many honorable mentions because I don't want to make my list this short. I know, I almost want to take out I Hate Being in Pain as much as I think that's going to be so cute and I'm going to love it. It's just not... I don't know what I want to push out with it, though. And again, we're trying to make a list based off of the new shows, nothing with the returning shows, because otherwise our list would probably be mostly returning shows because we know what we're getting into with those ones, I guess. Oh, and I do want to put Doroho Hedoro... Anyways, I'm going to go with this list. I have Somali and the Four Spirit, Inspectre, ID Invaded, I Hate Being in Pain, and If the Fan Goes to Bodokon, She Would Die. And then I have honorable mention as Oda, Cinnamon, Rekikoi, Kosuru Asteroid, and sure, put the perverted Ishizoku reviewers in there too. Put everything in the honorable mentions.
No, that's in my honorable mentions.
It's a lot of really good shows. And but I would say there's a lot of shows that could potentially lose their steam after a first episode. I can see a lot of these shows losing their steam at the first episode, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the main problem. Anytime that I get overly excited over a season, I start wondering if I'm going to be big time disappointed at the beginning of the season. For my main list, I've got Somali, and Kami-sama, which is the Somali and the Forest Spirit. I've got Inspectre, Rekikoi, Hanako-kun, and the Full Defense Girl, I Hate Being in Pain. So I put all my points into defense. On my honorable mentions, I've got the Madoka Magica, Nekopara, Isoku Zoku reviewers, Smile Down the Runway, and Hatena Illusion.
Yeah, I forgot Madoka. I for some reason had it in my mind as being a returning show, but it's not technically. I guess technically it is a returning show, so I save you on that one. Because it does have Homura as being the connection there. I don't want to say that it's a direct sequel. I'm guessing it's more an alternate reality or an alternate a spin-off parallel world, I guess. I don't know. Well, yeah. Like I said, because it does technically open up with Homura in very much her early stages of training with the other members of the series. So, yep. Like I said, it's going to be a very big season for people for returning shows because you do have, you know, Haikyuu, Quintessential Quintuplets, Railguns coming back. I know those are some big series. We do, again, like I said, have a lot of shows carrying over to the new season. You also have Babylon, which I believe is probably the best show of last year. Unfortunately, having its second half starting in January, so it technically is a two-core in a way. Oh, it sucks. But yes, so there you go. It's a very... I wouldn't say there's much in this that is going to be... that I have huge hopes for. I mean, I do think that Somali and the Forest Spirit can turn into like a Made in the Abyss kind of thing in a bottle aspect. But at the same time, there's nothing here that would say, oh my gosh, this is going to change anime. But again, that's usually when we get the really surprising hits come out and really hit us in the face. So I'll hold judgment.
At the same time, I don't know if I can't think of any of them that I could go, well, Hidden Gem, maybe the Oda Nobunaga Cinnamon, but
I can't say it's hidden because it's been kind of, it's been in the social medias for a while that I've seen anyways.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know that any of these shows, I guess it's just because we've been seeing a lot of information on these coming up. So the only one that's really unknown of at this moment is probably Breakers. And I don't honestly think that's going to be a big hit.
I don't think that's going to stay hidden very long if it does something amazing. People are going to watch it.
Yeah, it's got too much sci-fi in it just the pictures. That kind of gives me pause for it. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But I don't...
Watch my Somali become the hidden gem.
Darwin Game's going to be the gem.
You think so?
But again, Somali's been... I mean, that's one that's been published over here. It's actually being released over here, so people know about it.
Well, being published does not necessarily mean that people are paying attention to it.
Enough that they're going to keep printing it. Yes, you technically have to sell a certain amount to keep printing it. We'll see. See, like I said, there's nothing really jumping out at me as being a hidden gem, unfortunately. Because I think all the ones that I think could have potential have some kind of notoriety so far. Maybe if the fan goes to Bokudan, she'll die. I don't really see many people talk about that one. I'll put my bets on that one. Hopefully. If it turns out the way I was hoping it to. So there you go. I'll go with that one. All right, that's it. That's all we have for the Winter 2020 preview. Hopefully, you people have learned some interesting things regarding the upcoming season.
I'm going to go with Tank Chan.
Tank Chan?
I'm going to go with Tank Chan. She's my hidden gem of the season.
We'll see. I doubt it. Those series are cute and very much enjoyable, but they never do turn out to be something that goes, oh my gosh, you changed the world.
Yes, she is going to change the world because she is the ultimate tank.
Doubt it. But I'll probably enjoy it. All right, again, that's our Winter 2020 anime season preview. Hopefully you guys got some good information from all that, as usual. Our goal here is, for the previews, is to really kind of inform people on what's coming up and what to look forward to based on the information that we have for it. If there's any show that you are looking forward to or your picks of the season, definitely let us know in our comments or our forum thread on the otakuspirit.com website at the forum link at the top, or you can, you know, hit us up on the social medias and everything like that. With that said, I guess that reminds me, want to give a shout out to everybody on our feeds and everybody that listened to us that have given us a lot of support over the last few years, regarding something that we've been struggling with for quite a while. I kind of mentioned it over Twitter just because I wasn't really sure exactly who we gave a full idea of what we were going through with our father. And so I kind of just, you know, generically said over Twitter that we had just lost him this week. And I do want to say that I am absolutely appreciative of the extremely, extremely surprising outpour of support that I got on Twitter and social media from you guys letting us know of your condolences, of our loss, and your support. So that's very much appreciated. It has been a long struggle for us, and I just want to let you guys know that we definitely appreciate your support. So with that said, I still wanted to get on here and do our preview just because we were promising it. So I did want to give it a shot and see if we could get through it, and we apparently were able to get through it. But this does kind of mark a possible lull in our releases, not in releases, but more so long releases, because I will be going on vacation for a while. We will be coming back in January,
yeah,
which will be pretty much a heavy hit on some really long recordings. We will have our reviews coming into the start of January for the fall 2019 season. We will have our deliberations for the best of anime for 2019 in that time as well. I'm hoping we can get time to actually do that, because coming back, we'll probably be going straight into work again. So hopefully we can pull them off.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a scramble coming into the start of January. So hopefully you guys can be patient with us. But again, I wanted to just tell people that I really do appreciate you guys' support. Hopefully things can keep going smoothly going forward.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a little bit of a change of things. So, yeah, that said, thank you all for listening to us. We hope that y'all enjoyed. And special shout out to our father, who we miss dearly and
kind of made us into the geeks we are.
Yes, was a great father. So thank y'all for listening, and y'all take care.
Os.
使命を課されるんだ。魔法少女になった時、玉木さんは何を叶えてもらったの？願い事。君は知りたいのかい？自分の願いの姿を。
And then finally, Rebirth. The series revolves around a team of 12 high school students who love to play trading card games. The trading card game called Rebirth for you. So if you like trading card games and chibis, there you go. And that's been being done by Elite Films, so.
Just a moment. Okay. I found this on the web for Revolve Around 18 and 12 high school students who
love to play games.
Thank you. Check it out.
Okay. I wonder if the mic picked that up. It's like I'm echoing. A good.
I don't have an answer for that. Is there something else I can help with?
Shut up!
Hey Siri, stop listening.
She literally did shut up. She didn't even respond. She's like,
I can't do that.
Oh my gosh.
What do you mean you can't stop listening?